It's been said that most people die at age 25 and wait to be buried at age 65. So the big question is this: how are entrepreneurs like us who believe in God and read the Bible preparing for the financial danger that the bankers and brokers do not want us to know about? How do we resist the life that's less than we are promised and hold on to our dreams so that we can live in fullness every day? That is the question, and this podcast will give you the secret. My name is Nate Scott, and welcome to the Life is Rich podcast.
All right. Hey, what's going on, everyone? Nate Scott here, author of Life is Rich, How to Create Lasting Wealth. I am so excited to have you guys joining us for today's episode of Life is Rich with Nate Scott. And today is a very special day. But before I get into who our amazing guest is, let me leave you with something to think about. It's called Daily Habits Done Daily Build Character. Daily Habits Done Daily Build Character. I'm your constant companion. I'm your greatest helper or heaviest burden. I will push you onward or drag you down to failure. I am completely at your command. Half of the things you do, you might as well turn over to me, and I will do them quickly and correctly. I am easily managed. You must be firm with me. Show me exactly how you want something done, and after a few lessons, I will do it automatically. I am the servant of great people and Allah's of all fears as well. Those who are great, I've made great. Those who are failures, I have made failures. I am not a machine though. I work with the precision of a machine plus the intelligence of a person. You may run me for profit or run me for ruin. It makes no difference to me. Take me, train me, be firm with me, and I will place the world at your feet. Be easy with me, and I will destroy you. Who am I? I am habit. I want you to really reflect on that. Daily habits done daily build character. Our thoughts lead to our feelings, which lead to our actions, which lead to our results. Our thoughts lead to feelings, which lead to actions, which lead to results. Life is Rich is a principle-centered, biblically-based leadership program focused on personal growth and entrepreneurship, specifically written to address the fact that 77 million baby boomers are retiring and facing a cash flow danger, that 66 out of 100 people age 65 earn less than $30,000 in retirement, that 47% of people said if they had a $400 emergency, they'd have to sell something or borrow money to address it, and 78% of people are living paycheck to paycheck. We all have the same 1,440 minutes per day, but when you subtract out the time for working, for sleeping, for commuting, and the time it takes you to do what you have to do each and every day of your life, most people are left with just 1 to 2 hours remaining to do what they really want to do. But then the question is, do they have the money to do it? Well, the Life is Rich community and this podcast and the guests in which we bring on are focused on how do we live in fullness every day? How do we live in fullness every day, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially? Because life is rich means I live in fullness every day because I realize I am Christ's heir. And that means we're promised all abundance in every area of our life. And when you believe that, then all you've got to do is go do the work. And so today, I'm excited to bring a guest on that shares in an area that we are true advocates for. The areas in which we are advocates for are cancer, seniors, children. But the number one area is women. Why women? Well, because in 19, when I walked the perimeter during Desert Storm, I said, Lord, if you allow me to make it back, I'll never waste a day of my life. That life experience as a teenager forever shaped everything that I've gone to do. So I'm a value-based decision maker. And so when I talk about that, I made a decision early on that I was going to commit my life to pouring seeds into women because I had my daughter, Nadia. And I said, if something were to ever happen to me, I wanted to have sowed enough seeds in the lives of women so that they would have, she would have role models that I would want her to actually follow. And this is why we've got to make sure we have the right balancing. so many women struggle because they don't have the right balance between who they authentically are and who they're forced to be as a result of society. And so I think today is going to be a message in which you're going to really be able to embrace our speaker and also the concepts in which she will talk about and what we'll dialogue about as we're talking specifically to those of you that are high-powered women. High-powered women, whatever that might mean to you. What we do know is that you are all of you. And we've got to get you back to the essence of being that woman. And so, Roya Mattis, you know,
yeah.
I'm going to go ahead and welcome you. Thank you for jumping on. Listen, I know that we're short on time, but I love having the time condensed because what it allows us to do is really provide quality engagement. It's always about value. And let's just first begin with you just introducing yourself and tell me, who is Roya?
That's a large question for a short answer. But I am excited to be here, Nate. You know, I admire the work that you do and to have a mission and a vision that's all about really give back is the way that God intended us to be. So thank you for being a beacon for that and a torchbearer for a lot of us. I am a national sales director with a direct sales company, and I have loved that mission mostly with women for almost 19 years. And in working closely with women and coaching them and getting intimate and walking into their homes, we offer the opportunity to have the two things women want, which is it all. That's it. And in offering it all and watching these women actually obtain serious, not all of them, but some serious success and serious victories and getting out in the world and recognizing their confidence, And as we continued our conversations and got closer, I realized there was a pattern, Nate, that so many women, particularly high achieving women, and that can be women at home, that are beasts in their home where they have everything on par, you know, or they do tons of volunteering because they have that achievement mindset. Or if they're a beast in the workforce and they're a CEO or an owner of their own company, et cetera, they have that mindset of having not just an ordinary life, but an extraordinary life. So this is the type of women I'm talking about. The women that yearn for more than just enough. I found this common pain, and that pain is that they feel like they should be happy, they ought to be grateful, and they are, but they have this void that something's missing, this compression, this tension. They're still feeling guilty as mothers. They're in passionless relationships. They don't quite understand why there is a disconnect from satisfaction when they have so much that's available and acquired already. And so that's where this passionate movement that I am the creator of, but not the sole provider to the women, meaning I'm collecting women. This is a collection union called, I call it She-ness, embracing the freedom of she to really access the ignored and often blind parts of ourselves as women, particularly in the United States, because that's all I really know at this point, and working with women in U.S. based.
So, well, you know, I'm glad that you said that, because today I want to tell you that you're now getting exposure to Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, and as we continue to expand. It's so important that this message comes out, and I'm excited to have you really talk about what the true meaning of that She-ness movement is, because it does line up with living in fullness every day. And that's the thing I look for always in all relationships, is alignment before assignment.
Yeah.
Alignment before assignment. So I'm excited to listen to what you're going to say. So walk me through what She-ness movement is about. What is it?
So I see us in the third phase of the female revolution, at least in the U.S., the first being suppression, The second being that I can have it all, do it all, change, which we needed. We had to swing the pendulum in the other direction, and we swung it hard. And I'm grateful because we had to make a serious shift. And in my opinion, in the research that I've done, what we've seen in society as a whole and the messaging that's happening is that we continue to take the pendulum that was get away from suppression to freedom, and we continue to take it out in this direction. And what I mean by that is we're fighting. We're continuing to be in this fighting stance of I demand my rights, I want my rights. And while Sheenus and while I agree with all of equality, what we're languaging here, what we're missioned to do is to bring back respect and adoration and understanding of why these beautiful differences can occur in men and women. And it doesn't mean that you're less valuable, which we can attach it to. And it doesn't mean that you're less able to create and conquer, which we all are capable of doing. It means that there is something inside us that we have been ignoring. And so if you look at anything in history that's been well done, from Mother Teresa to Jesus to Martin Luther King to Gandhi, everything that you've seen that's been really made a movement in society has been done by love. And we continue to go fight. And so we're talking about, instead of fighting, we're talking about inviting. Inviting unity between men and women and unity within ourselves. So this is a mission of unity, starting with self first, because whenever you want to make a change, who do you start with? And so helping high-achieving women, helping women recognize the yin and the yang within themselves. And I'll talk to you about that a little more in a moment. And so fully embracing, accepting ourselves will then allow us to be more open to, instead of competing, comparing with other women, we're now ready because we feel centered to embrace other women. And then once we're able to do that, which is really what we were biologically designed to do as women, is to tribally connect, actually. So I'm going to pause on that. I'm going to hit on that for just 1 second before I go to the third piece of it. If you go back to caveman days, women sat in a circle around the campfire, right? Some facing out to look for danger and the others facing in to watch the children and the food and feed, while the men went off isolated or with another man or so hunting, and then they would come back. And so we were built to be in this community until modern man and land ownership came into place, and the women were plucked out of the circles and they go off independently with the men, and things began to change. And our language today is so much about independence, and if you need anyone, you are weak. Well, especially as a female essence, that creates strength for us. It's opposite of weakness. And then the third piece is to unify us with our men again, because there is so much confusion for the males today. You know, if you're too strong, you're a jerk. If you're too weak, you're, you know, a wimp, you're a pushover. So how do they treat us? They don't even know, because they can be reprimanded for either way. So helping to clarify and even practice some new ways of connecting.
Well, you know, it's interesting in several points that you bring up, and it really strikes a chord with me. My undergrad is in sociology, and I chose to study sociology because I went to West Point, which is an ultra-conservative institution, primarily white males. Mm. And so I chose my major based upon the fact that I couldn't imagine an institution like that, that was developing leaders, having no representation in the room to be able to bring up that perspective of diversity and what it looked like in order to then open up and expand to create an environment that would foster collaboration and unity. And so because of that, I can appreciate what you're communicating, because it's the parallel when it comes to having a desire to not lose oneself, but to realize that you bring whatever you bring who you are to the table and their strengths in and of itself. But that definitely begins with one having a knowledge of self. And so many times in relationships, people are emotionally immature and lack emotional intelligence. And so there's a lot of underlying work that has to be done because of how people are socialized. So I'm excited to have the opportunity for us to dialogue and even take this further, because my work has been and continues to be with women, and it's amazing to see how they adjust and learn from me when they've never had a strong male presence in their life. And they actually start to then appreciate and exhale and breathe.
Yeah.
Because many times their whole experience has been fighting. I've got to be the one, I got to do this. And so I will say that there's some dynamics that are going there, but I'm excited that you're tapping into something that definitely speaks directly to me.
Well, as an achiever mindset person, human myself, it took me I was introduced originally to the concept at a large event that I went to about masculine and feminine energy. I'd never heard that concept before. And now people are starting to talk about it a little more, at least maybe because it's the world I'm following now on social media, but masculine energy and feminine energy residing in both a man and a woman, we each have it. But to recognize, are you primarily masculine or are you primarily feminine? So as a general explanation, masculine being drive, win, point A to point B, conquer, and the feminine energy being free-flowing, whole concept, looking at what's going to happen to the other people around me, and chaotic, you know, full of unexpected anticipation. And so we possess both. And if we didn't, then we'd either crush people or we would get nothing accomplished, right? But I'm sitting in this audience and they called for all the primarily feminine women, humans, to please stand up if you're feminine at core. And I'm sitting down. Meanwhile, I'm wearing my blinged out heels with a bow on the back and I'm not standing up. And these men start tapping me on the shoulder like, you're feminine, stand up. I'm like, nope, I am primarily masculine. And I remained seated while these people stood up and they started dancing their feminine flow. And I'm like, oh, I don't want to do that. But I refused to stand because I was honoring what I thought I was. And it took me a full year, Nate, to figure out that I'm actually feminine at core. And so for those of us that are watching, those of you that are watching that are like, I don't identify with femininity or being female, or I'm rejecting that, we may be so conditioned to not honor that part of ourselves, which was where I was, that we're even unaware. So I want to give some trigger points of what finally helped me figure it out and why I wanted to figure out. Should I go into that now?
Yes, please.
So I knew that I should feel like it was enough in my life, but there was this tension inside of me all the time, this agitation. I carried a lot of tension, and I still do sometimes, but a lot of tension in the shoulders. And then I had this pain. So there's body triggers and body pain. So if you're feeling any of these spaces in your body that I'm going to describe now, it may be an indication that you are driving in the wrong energy most of the time. And so go see a doctor, of course. Let me make a disclaimer. Like if they can find something that's physically going on, then do that. But this is, I'm talking about like there, I had uterine pain way down deep and I kept having scans and went to a few different gynecologists type people, experts. Nobody knew what was going on. Nope, you don't have anything. You don't have anything. But yet I carried the pain deep into my abdomen by my uterus all the time. And so if you carry pain there, if you carry tension extra here, if you feel, if you use antacids a lot, so if you have indigestion challenges, if you have hips that are tight all the time, these can be indications that you're carrying the weight of masculine energy when you need to decompress. Now, I did not have that revelation until one day, I'm standing at my kitchen sink and I had been traveling. And when I was traveling at these conferences, I immersed myself. I've done 800 hours of immersion training from every part of life, including relationships and health and wealth and all of those things. There was a lot of fun also in that learning. And so I was able to dance and I was able to also be free. And so when I got home, I'm washing the dishes and all of a sudden the pain came back. And then I made the connection. When I'm gone, the pain is gone. And when I come home, mm-hmm. the pain comes back. And I realized it was the patterns that I had set up in my regular life that were not allowing space for my feminine part of me to ever show up. I handle things, you know? So people that handle things, life happens. But here's the other thing that happened for me. In our relationship, and this is what I'm talking about, the patterns I set up, I didn't know what I didn't know. So I married a kind man, and I was the oldest of three brothers, and he was the youngest in his family. And then I had been on my own, living on my own, and he had not been. So when we first started our marriage, I took over things, the bills and things like that. And so one decision after the next, I started making more of them. And then he is a really nice guy. So he became the pleaser. So you can have one of two types in a relationship generally that's a little bit dysfunctional, which is most of our relationships. When you are driving as a primarily feminine essence, so I'm going to use women for ease, and when you're driving in the masculine and you're married to a man who's primarily masculine, one of two things can happen in your house. Either you get a yes guy, a pleaser, honey, whatever you want, sure, yeah, you can have that. And then you're annoyed because he's not stepping up and you're no longer attracted because you're not attracted to a feminine essence, you're attracted to a masculine essence, and now you're married to a female essence. Or you end up with masculine against masculine and you are butting heads and you're in this agitated fighting zone a lot. So when the doors close and no one is there and you're in your home, if you're living that kind of constant agitation, it's that energy has to go somewhere and it deposits as pain or deposits as if you feel irritated faster than you should, you get anxiety. And you don't know where that's stemming from. So all the meditation and the yoga that I tried, stretching and the massages, never touched a key that I can tell you as one of the ways to tap into feminine energy to begin to decompress and call out what's called, what we call call out the feminine. And I can share that too.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, I'll tell you the, in all of that, when I'm addressing those particular issues that you're speaking of, one of the things I tell people to make note of is having a pause button. Mm-hmm. And it seems like what you did was you did take the time to pause, to really reflect and to go to try to seek that out. Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you, what was the driver for causing you to even seek out that information? Why is this something that has evolved?
Well, seeing the pain. And when I spoke truth with other women and coaching them and seeing that it was not an isolated incident. In fact, it was the majority. And then for my own situation at home, I was really unhappy. And it got real serious. And we're still going through things because it's 20 years of undoing, you know, uncoiling. And you can't do it by yourself. You have to have the willing partner to do it with you. But when I saw that I could be better than I was and I could enjoy and be enjoyed all the fruit of my labor and that I could help other people have that exhilaration. Once I felt the freedom of that unlock, it became an addiction. It was like you talked about women being able to exhale in your presence. It's like, oh my gosh, I can finally breathe. And when you do get around, if you're primarily feminine, you get around secure masculine energy, there is this natural feeling of freedom that happens.
Yeah, yeah. And again, this is, these are the things that are undeniable. When you walk into a presence and you start to experience that which you've never experienced before, then it causes you to be aware of that which you've never had. And then it definitely puts you in a situation where, say, either A, I've got to figure out what that is and figure out how I can get it,
yeah.
or B, I'm going to run because I'm feeling ashamed or conscious, of what it is that I'm really yearning for. And so, what is the, as you move forward in this endeavor, how does this parallel with your getting to your higher sense of self?
So when you said, when you just touched upon the desire to run from it, if you really look around, most people are walking around half dead. If you're not feeling lit up and passionate on a regular basis, there is more for you. And it is not too much to ask. It is what we've been asked to get. But we have to do that. We have to be willing to look at the dark pieces. I just had a conversation actually with Noah, and I said, here's the thing where we're at. We are willing to look at the uncomfortable and ugly and demand extraordinary and no longer allow just enough to be a part of our language. And so when you have that kind of level of expectation on your own life, you're willing to unlock and peel back the layers that are going to get you to what it is you, the standard in which you've demanded for yourself, and recognize that, you know, God has asked us to have. And so it is our responsibility. Nothing that's beautiful on this earth really has been done without some kind of a push and pressure. Flowers come out of the earth with pressure, with a push, diamonds with pressure, baby birds and butterflies have to press out of their shell, and so do we. So when we decide that we're going to hide, we're essentially a butterfly whose wings never developed. We have them on our body, but they are withered. And the only way to gain the full spread is to push through the difficult things and face the truth so that you can create a new reality. I'm going to quote Tony Robbins, and he said that success without fulfillment is the ultimate failure. And that is the truth. And so as I look at people that look great on paper, but they don't have this happening in all areas of their life, there's a miss.
And have you made a decision to start to surround yourself with others that are committed to that type of a standard? And the reason I ask that question, because one of the things, as I was helping my wife through a transitional period, well, before we got into a relationship, she was a client of mine, and I really had to help to untangle some things that typically hold women back, and that is the whole thing of being accepted and being liked and being around and that group think mindset. But whenever she started to really to breathe and started to see herself as God truly sees her, then it caused some discomfort, because then it was about, well, what do I do because of all of this? What have I had? What's my next thing? And so how have you what have you done, if you have done anything, to make the decision to be open and receptive to those relationships that can help you to be the very best version of you?
It started in different layers. You know, in the beginning, when I made big changes in my business, I had to make conscious decisions to have 5-minute people, 0-minute people, and 5-hour people in my life, and days people in my life. And there are times in that transition that you feel a little bit lonely. But as they say, raise the bar, you keep the winners, lower the bar, you keep the whiners. And so and sometimes there are people you live with. I make a conscious decision not to discuss certain things with family members because it doesn't do anything good in my life. So I can be around anyone. I just choose to be, specific about who I share dreams, goals, and aspirations with, and who I absorb most of my time with. Now, when I made this transition to understanding feminine masculine energy, that was another layer that was not already a part of my current vibe of people. In fact, most people that I was surrounded with were just as unconscious as me on what it is, even like what it is. And so it started with, I think what a lot of people do when they're ready to make a change, it started with podcasts, started surrounding myself with books. It started surrounding myself with going intentionally to workshops that were going to teach me, so that then I met other people at those workshops that were just as interested in the same subject and began to develop a group of people that got it. And then once you walk in that energy space, it's amazing who's no longer attracted to it. And you got to be okay with that. And then who is attracted to it that you suddenly go, oh, you're my people. I love it. And when it feels that natural, it's right.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, last question as we're wrapping it up, Roya, 2020, what is your desire for the unification of women and men to make this decade line up with your vision?
So this year, if we take it to 1 year and then into the decade, so this year in particular is really about creating awareness and language that we didn't have. And then it's about giving a set of tools to women to be able to tap in, and men, into their masculine and feminine energies and call it out when it's going to benefit them the most, to be able to flow between the two, to be able to recognize that we are inauthentic mostly as contrived adults, and be okay with being more authentic. Like, for example, giving permission to see that we are a variety and not just one thing. If you look at a two-year-old, one moment they're being so gentle with the butterfly, and the next moment they're having a wild tantrum. They're being authentically themselves. And I'm not saying we as adults have our full tantrum, but we as adults don't have to stereotype ourselves like, I'm a tomboy, I'm a gentleman, I'm this, because you can be a lot of different things in a lot of different scenarios. So phase one is creating awareness conversation. I'm writing a book right now. I intend to have that done in 2020. We are going to have a massive workshop in November. It's the third weekend of November, because it's so important to have physical interaction when we're recreating new premises in ourselves and our bodies. I might do a co-ed. I'm in conversation with a very brilliant gentleman who's really, really done a lot of work and research on the masculine. And so it might be a yin and yang, but it might just be a female only workshop. And then I'm just going to put it out there. I plan to do a TED talk and speak across the country on this and collect. I'm looking for you, you and you, says this, collecting the right minds. Like yours, Nate, that allow us to expand our conversation to each person's expertise and life stories. This is a big thing. So in a decade, I have a dream, and it's a collection of people across the country where now we've taken that pendulum and we've put it back into the center of full unity and embracing ourselves as a variety, embracing each other and honoring our gifts, we're allowing men to hold us sometimes, and allowing them to feel the energy and the vibration that the feminine flow can offer. This would ignite all of our experiences. And can you imagine that we're able to not only drive forward quickly, but see what's going to happen around us when we do that drive forward? And that's only going to really be able to take place in society as a whole when we marry the essences in their full capacity, without apology and with honoring.
So. All right. Unapologetically to you. So please tell us how we can follow you, connect with you, so that my listeners throughout the United States, Australia, New Zealand, Malaysia, and around the world can gain access to who you are and learn more about you.
Nate, I honor you. Thank you for being so big. Thank you for expanding your voice so far. You've taken my brain to the next level, and thank you for this introduction. They can find me on she-nest.com, www.she-nest.com, and on social media. Instagram is SheNess Tribe, SheNess. Tribe, TRIBE, SheNess Tribe. And then you can find us on Facebook at She-Ness. And then we do have a private women's group that I'm so proud of. And we're expanding and growing every day. This community is all about unity and growth and self-development and living their life at their highest potential that they were, that's their God-given right to do, as you share as well. And that's if you go to Facebook under groups and put in SheNess Tribe, She-Ness Tribe on Facebook, you will find our private women's only high achievers unity forum there. And we have a speaker every week in Facebook Live. We ask a question every day. So it's a true resource. We talk about the everything. We have speakers on finances, to sex, to rearing children, to just all aspects. We're real in there, and we bring people that we bring experts in each field, so that we're just, it's a gift. That community is a gift to women. So hope to see them there.
Awesome. Awesome. Now, I always allow my guests to ask me one closing question.
Ooh. Okay. I'm going to ask you this question. If women walked in their feminine essence, as well as their masculine, but were able to tap into that free flow, to that fun space, to that natural relaxation that feminine can bring, what would that do for you as a man? Or what does that do for you as a man?
Authenticity allows me to be my very best. To meet someone where they truly are so that I can see who they are in fullness allows me to best serve them. Everything that I do is focused on truly asking, how may I be of service to you? And we miss the mark and we are misdiagnosed when we don't have the accurate information. And I think that's the greatest detriment to not learning soon enough how to embrace all of you. And that's a perfect segue into my closing statement. Do you feel that you have the potential and the capacity to accomplish more than you have so far? Do you know that there are things in your life that are holding you back? Does fear sometimes reach you and grab you by the throat and prevent you from dreaming your dreams or attempting to fulfill your goals? If so, then I want to invite you to subscribe to the Life is Rich with Nate Scott podcast. You see, I believe that each of us has a purpose and a reason to be on this planet. I believe we're capable of much more than what we've accomplished thus far in our lives. I don't know anyone who hasn't just settled in their life. No one has the money of Bill Gates and the body of Will Smith or Halle Berry, the relationships of Oprah Winfrey and the faith of Joel Osteen. No one has all these things in his or her life. We've all settled, and the result is we're not creating our dreams. We're not living up to our potential. Most people are not flourishing. They're languishing, hoping for a decent ending. Hebrews 11:1 reads, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. The reality is this, hope is not a strategy. The other reality is that your best thinking got you to where you are today. In other words, you have created your current situation, and if you created it, then you can change it. Too many people believe that practice makes perfect. Nothing could be further from the truth. Practice makes permanent. Yeah. Practice is what creates our habits, and our habits are what are ruining and running the bulk of our lives and thus creating our future. See, I believe that each of us is in charge of our own destiny, and each of us was born to be great. I did not say that each of us are born great, but rather born to be great. Daily habits done daily build character. required to focus on perfect practice, which leads to perfect. Unfortunately, part of being human is to see if we can do the least amount and somehow get the most. We live in a culture that seems to be based on instant gratification, which is a surefire formula for failure in every area of your life. The problem is that none of us can see ourselves swing. We are all too often unconscious of what we're doing to sabotage our lives. I believe the higher you want to go, the more success you desire in any endeavor, the greater the likelihood is that you will need a mentor or a personal coach. Again, my name is Nate Scott. I want to thank our amazing guest, Rora Mattis, for being here with us today. I hope that each one of you have gotten something of value. And as always, I want you to go back and reflect. And I'd love to hear from you. Tell me, what was the most value to you on today's podcast? And as always, remember to truly live in fullness every day, because you are Christ's heir. And that means spiritually, mentally, emotionally, relationally, physically, and financially. If you'd like to stay connected, text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. And please visit us at www.thelifeisrichcompany. Until next time, take care and be blessed.
Thank you for listening to the Life is Rich podcast. I'm your host, Nate Scott. Remember, if I tell you, you'll forget. If I teach you, you'll remember. But if I involve you, you'll learn. One way to get involved is to rate, subscribe, and leave feedback on iTunes by answering the question, what you like best about what you heard. One of the problems faced by Christian entrepreneurs striving for success is having an alliance with like-minded people working together for a common, definite objective. Would you like to join a community of Life is Rich soldiers? If so, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast on iTunes and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846 for the link and this month's free book. Again, please rate and subscribe to the Life is Rich podcast and text GROWTH to 904-204-0846. Again, my name is Nate Scott. Take care and be blessed.